ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೇ. ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರೀ ವೃಷಭಾನಸುತೆ ದೇವೀ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವಿ ವರ್ ಸಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ದ ಸಾಂಗ್ ಓ ಹೇ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಠಾಕುರ್ ದಯಾರ ಸಾಗರ್. ದಿಸ್ ಸಾಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಸಾಂಗ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸಾಂಗ್ the devotee is praying to the pure Vaishnava for blessing him with control of senses, chaya vega domi, and with purification of heart, chaya dosha shodhi, and with the benediction of the priti lakshanams, the six priti lakshanams, how to associate with one another as devotees. Prabhupada, amongst the seventh statement of purposes of ISKCON, one of them, Prabhupada said, the goal of our society is to help all the devotees to come together and develop love for each other and love for the one supreme entity, Krishna, with Krishna in the center. So the Priti Lakshanam is actually the life of our society, without which our society would be like a huge building with no living entities inside. So in this way, this is a very wonderful prayer in this song. And then the second stanza, we are begging for the best of the wealth. In the second stanza, what the devotee is asking, he is saying that please give me, he is not asking for him any material benediction. He is not asking for material well-being. He is only asking Deha Krishna Namadhane. Namadhan is the best dhan. Because if you have the ability to chant the holy name purely, then everything in this universe is included within that. In fact, Bhuktikami, Muktikami, Siddhikami, they all are Ashant. Only one who has Namadhan of Krishna's Naam, he is the richest. ಪ್ರೇಮಧನ ವಿನಾ ವ್ಯರ್ಥ ದರಿದ್ರ ಜೀವನ್ ದಾಸ ಕೋರಿ ವೇತನ್ ಮೋರೆ ಪಾದ ಪ್ರೇಮಧನ್. ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಡ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಧನ ವಿನಾ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಿತೌಟ್ ದ ವೆಲ್ತ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಹೋಲಿ ನೇಮ್ ವ್ಯರ್ಥ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವೇಸ್ಟ್. Daridra means poverty stricken. Jivan. Our life is waste and Krishna rati vina jivan to miche hai. It says in the same meaning. Hare Krishna naam ke vina jivan vyartha ho jata. Isliye he is saying prema dhan vina vyartha daridra jivan. He says. So how to give up the daridra jivan? So is Bill Gates daridra or wealthy? He is considered daridra because he has no naam then. But even a beggar in the street, if he has the holy name, he is the multi-millionaire. Isn't it? So, premadhana vina vyartha daridra jivan. He says. Das kori. Therefore, my dear Lord, I have become your servant, but not without salary. I want a salary from you. What salary? Das kori vetan mori. Vetan means salary. What salary I want from you? Premadhana. I will serve you with the expectation of salary of getting your prem. That's all. I don't want any dollar notes or rupee notes. I only want premadhana from you. Similarly, the disciple is praying to Guru, please give me the wealth of the ability to chant the holy names of Krishna purely. That's a very wonderful prayer. Because such pure name can attract Krishna's attention. Krishna was attracted to Madhavendra Puri's chanting at the Govinda Kund. Why? Because those names were chanted with Preeti. Krishna says, you know, Bhajatam Preeti Purvakam. Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Preeti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogantam Yenamam Upayantite. Yuktanam means engaged in Krishna consciousness. Not occasionally. Satata Yuktanam. 24/7. Similarly, Bhajatam, one who is worshipping Krishna, not casually, Preeti Purvakam, with love. So Krishna puts adjectives, conditions for how the devotion service should be performed. Satata Yuktana Preeti Purvakam Bhajatam, he is saying. So, Deha Krishna Namadhane, please give me the benediction of the ability to chant the holy names purely. Because if we chant the holy names, even in Namabhas, then liberation is achieved, then all material desires are achieved. Then one's heart becomes cleansed also, because Namabhas is a clearing stage. And one becomes deeply satisfied. The satisfied person is the most happy person in the world. Ashantasya kutaha sukham, Krishna is asking. So, and then the last paragraph is saying, Krishna se toma, Krishna dete par, tomara shakati ache. Oh great soul, Krishna is your property, and I am running behind you, so that I may get Krishna from you. So, when Srila Prabhupada one time was in Madras, he had gone to one Justice Veeraswamy. There was a Veeraswamy. He was a High Court magistrate. And Prabhupada was invited to his house along with all his devotees for a lunch program. Prabhupada had gone. Then after that, Prabhupada was sitting with all the devotees. So that gentleman wanted to give Prabhupada some nice gift. So he brought this size, small size, silver Krishna. Fully made of silver, not just silver coated. It's fully made of silver, small Krishna. So he came and gifted to Prabhupada. Prabhupada saw it. He thought it's a very nice gift. Because it was a beautiful murti of Krishna. And Prabhupada kept it on the table. And all the devotees are watching it. While Saraswati came there and she picked it up in her hands. And she was playing with that small murti. Some devotees felt that, you know, it's not very safe because it may be several lakhs of rupees. Likely it may be 60, 80 lakh rupees. Small murti of Krishna. So they thought it is not very safe for a child to be taking around and playing. So they snatched it from Saraswati's hands and they brought it. And again they kept it on the table. In the meantime, Prabhupada picked it up in his hands. And then Saraswati came running, crying, "Ah, where is my Krishna? Where is my Krishna? Who took it?" She came running. And then she was asking all the devotees, she was going from one devotee to another, show me your hand and everything. And none of the devotees had. They showed, no, we don't have. And one devotee gave her a clue. Saraswati, who has Krishna? He asked. And immediately, even for that small child, it struck her. She immediately said, Prabhupada has Krishna, she said. And then she ran to Prabhupada. And then, of course, Prabhupada had that deity with him. And Prabhupada did like this. She asked, she was like shaking Prabhupada. Please give me Prabhupada, I want to have Krishna, she said. And there were tears in her eyes. And then Prabhupada showed her. She was so happy. She again took it from Prabhupada. Again she was joyful. So, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj in his book, Watering the Seed, he is highlighting this beautiful instance and teaching us a couple of lessons from this. The lesson, one lesson he says is, Saraswati was moved to tears to get Krishna. Sometimes people ask, I am doing devotional service for so many years, why I am not getting Krishna so easily? But actually, Krishna is obtained not very easily. Na yammatma pravachanena labhyo, na medhaya, na bahuna shrutena. It is said in the scriptures, even by giving pravachanas we cannot get Krishna. Even by reading lot of shastras we cannot get Krishna. Without the blessing of Baladev, balahinena labhyo, na medhaya, even by vast intelligence we cannot get Krishna. So Krishna has to become pleased by us. Like Raghunath Das Goswami got the blessing of Balaramji in the form of Nityananda Prabhu. Then he got the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu subsequently. So Krishna's heart has to become touched by our devotion. Then Krishna will give himself to us. So this child's crying, Prabhupada indicated to all the people, just see, she is crying for Krishna. So she got Krishna. Of course, this crying is not artificial. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion book in one place, one should learn this small technique of crying for Krishna, Prabhupada writes. Of course, it appears like a small technique, but it is not such an easy technique. Because it is not a drama performance. But it is a genuine devotion expressed to Krishna. So, and another thing Prabhupada wanted to teach everybody, that a pure devotee can bestow Krishna upon the disciple, upon the devotee. So, Krishna se toma, Krishna dite par, tomara shakati acha. He has the shakti. He can only bestow Krishna for anyone. When devotees came to Vrindavan, Prabhupada told once, don't try to see Krishna, Radha and Krishna behind the bushes of Vrindavan. He said, one has to sincerely please a pure devotee, after which Radha and Krishna will become visible in one's heart. In fact, if one's heart starts resonating with the scriptures and one's heart develops a longing to hear about Krishna and wanting to render service to Krishna more, it is non-different from seeing Krishna, actually. In Hindi mein bolta hoon, jab भगवान के संबंध में सुनने के लिए हृदय में लगन आ जाता है, वो लगन और भगवान के दर्शन में कुछ फर्क नहीं है, वो साक्षात भगवान को देखने के बराबर है. As soon as the devotee has developed a strong taste, Vasudeva Katharuchi, wanting to hear about Krishna, so that taste itself is Krishna, because then Krishna will start revealing himself to such a devotee. Eventually, more and more and more, and he will become accessible to the devotee. So in this way, in this beautiful song, as it is explained, this meaning was revealed by Prabhupada to his disciples by this small episode. So today, we will briefly discuss about how Narada Muni became a great Krishna conscious devotee. One of the 64 principles taught by Rupa Goswami Pad is Sadharma Pricha. Adav Guru Padashray, Sadharma Pricha, then Vishrambena Guru Seva, Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam, all these things are very important ones out of the 64. So, Adav Guru Padashray means taking shelter of the Guru, then Krishna Diksha De Shikshanam, Diksha Shiksha, accepting it. And then Vishrambhena Guru Seva, very intimately and respectfully serving the spiritual master. And then Sadhu Atmanavatanam is following in the footsteps of great saintly people. So, one of the aspects of Sadharma Pracha is also to inquire from devotees how they became devotees or how they achieved the wealth of Krishna consciousness. Just like somebody is a millionaire, he writes a book, how I became a millionaire. And that book sells so powerfully. It becomes the best-selling book and he becomes a multimillionaire after that. Isn't it? Similarly, somebody becomes a great cricketer, then he writes a book, how he became a cricketer. Similarly, it is customary in the Vaishnava path also to ask great souls how they became a great soul. Like Vedavyas is inquiring from Narada that, my dear spiritual master, you are like a air within and sun without, and you know everything, and you please look at me and find me why I am so unhappy in my life. Even after writing Mahabharata, Ramayana, Puranas, Vedas, everything, I am not able to be happy. So, and also he wanted to ask his guru how his guru became so fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, disciple always admires the spiritual master for his fixity in Krishna consciousness and for his exalted position. And he is always eager to know how he became such a great soul. So at that time Narada Muni spoke to Vedavyas about his personal life without any hesitation. He told about the previous life, something very confidential. He said, you know, I was a devata called as Upabharhana. And at that time I had a very handsome body. And I was always surrounded by apsaras, who are all very beautiful. I was like a playboy, surrounded by so many young women. I used to sing very sweetly. So they used to hover around me always. So one time I went to the meeting of the demigods, where there was a serious meeting going on, and they were all glorifying the Supreme Lord. But I was singing some songs in glorification of demigods, and also songs like some duet songs. And then the demigods became angry with me and they cursed me to become a Dasiputra. And from the heaven I fell down and I became a Dasiputra. So here the beauty of this pastime is, Narada Muni is telling himself how he is saying his own story. I was born as an insignificant son of a maid servant. As you see here, he was born in some village. Son of a Dasi means, see, sometimes the Dasis are ladies who may have a child, but the child may not even know who the father is, sometimes. And it is a very insignificant position. There is no wealth, there is no affluence. One's daily bread and butter is in question. So he was born in such a poverty and simple family. Somebody can read it? Any of you? Is there another mic here? This mic, you can give this mic, please.
Once during Chaturmas time, the 4 months of the rainy season, some exalted Vaishnavas came to the Brahmana school where my mother was living.
Yeah. During the rainy season, the sadhus generally don't travel to different places because it's inconvenient to travel. So you stay in one place and they used to do Krishna Katha in one place. So these sadhus had come to the Gurukula. And you can see the mother going and offering namaskar, and the boy is also offering namaskar. So this mother had a serving nature. She wanted to cook some prasad and offer to this Vaishnavas. So he is telling how he got a chance to get connected to sadhus. This is the beauty of especially India. In India, you will find there is no dearth of temples. Everywhere there are temples, everywhere there are bhajan mandalis. When Srila Prabhupada was standing here in Vrindavan temple, when it was open, lot of hundreds of people were circumambulating. And many people are offering obeisances. And many people were chanting Krishna's names, and Prabhupada was telling the devotees, just see, we opened a temple and immediately people are flocking in. You don't have to teach them, tell them anything. They will automatically come and circumambulate, pradakshina they will do, they will automatically offer obeisances. Because the attraction to Krishna is there, like a fire covered with ashes. You give an opportunity, immediately it comes out. So, people many times, like in the morning also during the Bhagavatam class, you see many people coming for darshan, in long queue, offering flowers to the deities. So, this is very nice for creating ajnata sukriti. And people know that when there is a, like in South India they have a rule, when you go to a temple, you should not immediately go away. You should sit there for some time. So I remember when I used to go with my father used to say, now we have taken darshan, now we have to sit for some time. So why that rule of sitting is there, anybody knows? Why you have to sit in the temple, why that policy is made? Something will go inside the ears. Like some Bhagavatam class is going on, somebody sits, even one sentence they hear. It enters the ears, then somebody may get awakened. Is it not true? So that rule is a good rule. So that even the people who came for Ajnata Sukriti, they may get some bhakti also. Because otherwise people generally do some little puja and they go away. In this way, similarly some people go for bhajan mandalis, where they do akhandanam, morning 6 to evening 6 they do. Similarly, like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, he saw wherever he went, like first from Alalnath he goes. In Alalnath, people are singing the holy name very wonderfully. Then as we proceeded towards south, in many places people flocked in big numbers, because all over India people hear Ramayana Katha, Mahabharata Katha. But people hear the Katha and they admire Ram and Krishna. But when Mahaprabhu went, they could express their bhakti. The bhakti was in a dormant state. When Mahaprabhu went, people understood, we can also raise our arms, we can also dance, we can also sing. We don't have to feel any hesitation. So in this way people, especially when Mahaprabhu came to Ranganath's temple, all the Sri Vaishnavas and everybody saw Mahaprabhu with great amazement, because Mahaprabhu raised his arms and he danced so beautifully. Thousands of people flocked all around, and Venkatabhatta came and fell at his feet and washed his feet and sprinkled on his head and invited him to his home. It was a new sight, because in South India people don't dance so easily. They are very reserved, they will only clap hands from a distance. So, in this way, when sadhus come, that becomes a great boon for everybody. Everybody can take a little association. Somebody will do some service for sadhus. Somebody will join the bhajan and hear the holy name. Somebody may sit and hear the katha. And somebody may join as a brahmachari. Somebody may dedicate their lives. Some rich man may put a pandal and arrange a program. And he gets, so everybody, it's like a gold, sadhu is like a gold mine. Everybody can come and take as much as they can get and go, as much benefit as they can get. So, in this way, the sadhus moving from village to village, especially staying during Chaturmas, became a great blessing for this dasi and her son. So, this boy also went and offered obeisances. Yeah, read it.
Because he was attending to their needs, I also got the opportunity to render personal service unto them.
This personal service sent to sadhus is a very great blessing. Please repeat this verse. Shushrusho shraddha dhanasya Vasudeva katharuchi Sian mahatsevaya vipra Punyatirta nishevanat. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Shushrusha Shraddha Dhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi. By rendering service to saintly people, the Katharuchi for hearing about Krishna is awakened in our heart. In that purport, Prabhupada says, human reasoning fails to explain how by serving the sadhus, one's attraction for Krishna increases. It's very difficult to know what is the connection. So, His Holiness Satsupadas Maharaj Goswami, in one of his writings, he says, how to associate with a sadhu? He explains very beautifully. He says that there are two ways. One is to hear from a sadhu. Another one is to serve a sadhu. So by hearing from a sadhu also we develop attraction to Krishna. But when serving the sadhu, so he was serving Prabhupada. So what he used to do, he used to wash Prabhupada's clothes, he used to cook for Prabhupada, he used to do the stenographer work of, clerical work for Prabhupada, typing letters and everything. So he thought, this is my service to Prabhupada, that's it. So one day it occurred to him, I am seeing that in the morning walks so many disciples are surrounding Prabhupada and going, what about me? Why can't I also go? Then he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, am I also allowed to come? Prabhupada said, yes, why not? You can come. Then he went with Prabhupada. Then later on he thought, let me adjust my services in such a way that I can get to attend the Bhagavatam class given by Prabhupada also. So he got to attend that also. So later on he writes that association with the Vaishnava is not only offering some service like cooking, cleaning, washing and all those things. That is also very, very nice, very important. But one should hear from saintly people. And the advantage of saintly people is what? As soon as somebody goes to a saintly person to serve, immediately some good things he will say. Something spiritual will come out. He will give some good instructions. How to come closer to Krishna. So, because saintly person is constantly exuding Krishna consciousness, every moment. So anybody who goes in that magnetic aura of Vaishnava, he naturally becomes sucked in and gets some good instruction. Sadupadesh he gets. So, one should serve physically also, and one should also hear from a Vaishnava, and one should observe the behavior of a Vaishnava. That also he says. Like how Prabhupada dealt with different people, the materialistic people who would come to meet him, the parents of brahmacharis, and how did he dealt with his own disciples, how did he dealt with scientists, how did he deal with easy and difficult situations, how did he deal with the deities. So, by observing a Vaishnava also, our Krishna's love awakens more and more. In this way, this boy got an opportunity also. He rendered service to them, which means he would bring, once the mother cooks prasad, he will come and bring the prasad to the sadhus and he will take back the plates. Yeah, please.
Although impartial by nature, they blessed me with their causeless mercy because...
Well, it's not very clear. Although impartial by nature, they blessed me with their causeless mercy. Because even though I was only a small boy, I was self-controlled, I did not speak more than required, I was not naughty nor interested in childish play. See, sadhus are impartial. What does that mean? You know, they don't favor anyone. Not that, like, you know, sometimes in the material world we are very much eager to make friends with those who are influential, powerful and everything. And those who are have-nots or poverty-stricken, we may neglect them. But the saintly people are equal to all. They are impartial by nature. Because they are Krishna's servants, they see all living entities as Krishna's property. They deal with everybody very nicely. But they don't make any specific difference. So, here also he says that these sadhus are also impartial by nature. But sometimes a sadhu may take a garland and give to somebody specific. Then that is actually a partiality, we may think. But it is called causeless mercy. A sadhu may sometimes call somebody from the crowd and talk to them. Show some special favor. So the favor of a saintly person can come in various ways. One favor is when a saintly person pays some attention to us, calls us, inquires about our name and he inquires about us and he gives some instruction to us. So that instruction is also a favor. Or if he gives his garland, or he gives a flower, even a flower, or even if he gives a smile, or even if he says some words to us. So these are all favor actually. Because the nature of a sadhu is even a small association of a saintly person can bring about a big difference to an individual. Like one, I was here in Vrindavan for one of the Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. So one devotee was speaking on the mic. He said he had come with some people to a temple, and there was a big crowd, and one person picked up this devotee by the hand and took him to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, he is a gardener. This fellow is a gardener and he has come to our temple. You know, he is my friend. He does gardening somewhere else," he said. And Prabhupada said, "So please do gardening for Krishna," he said. That's it, finished. That one sentence made a difference in his life. That fellow gave up his gardening and other places and joined the temple and became a gardener at the temple for his whole life. Can you imagine? Just one instruction of a sadhu. That's all. So, that is a favor of a saintly person. Because he gave an instruction, he got an upadesh. So, and the favor can come in various ways. Nalakur Manigrev, they also got a favor. Why a favor? You may say, what kind of favor is that? They were cursed to become trees. No, a sadhu can never give curse. A curse of a sadhu is blessing in disguise. Because a sadhu can never do harm to anyone. A sadhu is the most non-violent species in the whole creation. The Vaishnava species are the most non-violent, non-injuring species in the whole creation. They cannot hurt or harm anyone. So, Narada cursing Nalakur Manigrev is wonderful because they got to appear in Vrindavan behind the home of Nanda Baba in the courtyard behind, and they could witness the beautiful pastimes of childhood Krishna, isn't it? Childhood pastimes of Krishna, and then they could be delivered by Krishna also. So, the attention of Narada Muni on Nalakur Manigrev is a great blessing for them. That attention itself, attention of a saintly person is a great blessing. If one doesn't get the attention of a saintly person or any favor, it's a great misfortune. So here he says, they gave the causeless mercy to me. Yeah. Like I heard when Srila Prabhupada was in Montreal, actually in those days, lot of Western people would come to the Western temples, you know, in Prabhupada's times. So, devotees saw one Indian boy started coming. He was doing his MBA. And he came to the temple and they told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, one Indian boy is coming we wanted to introduce him to you. We told him to clean your room before you arrived here." And he had cleaned Prabhupada's room, and when Prabhupada came there, Prabhupada asked them to send him. So, he came to Prabhupada and then he offered obeisances. Prabhupada asked, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Gopal." He said, and Prabhupada asked her, "Do you chant any mantra?" Prabhupada assumed, this fellow is from India, he must be chanting some mantra. He said, "Yes, Swamiji, I chant Om." He said, "Okay, today onwards you chant Om Krishna." Prabhupada said, "Om Krishna, Om Krishna," you chant. So he started with Om Krishna, like that. Next time when Prabhupada came, he told him, "Now it's enough now, you chant Hare Krishna now." Like that he said. And then while going, he told the devotees, "You know, keep in mind this personality. He is an Indian boy. He is very interested. He will become a very big devotee in future. Pay attention to him. This is a favor." And later on he went on to become whom? Do you know that? Who it is? Son of Gopakrishna Maharaj ki. This is a favor. Is it not true? He got attention of Prabhupada. In this way you will find, if you see many of the Prabhupada disciples, they got some attention of Prabhupada and some favor of Prabhupada. You will see that. So here he says here, "Even though I was only a small boy," before that he says, "although impartial to nature, they blessed me with their causeless mercy." So all of us, we also can aspire in our lives for getting such causeless mercy. So from great personalities, so one of the first things we should try to do is to hear from them, inquire from them, associate with them, render some service to them, and then we can expect by being in that zone, we may also get some mercy. That mercy is a very great blessing, because the reason is such mercy awakens our dormant Krishna consciousness. It increases our taste for hearing about Krishna. Actually, in the path of Krishna consciousness, there is nothing greater to be achieved other than developing Vasudeva Katharuchi. That's the highest thing. There is nothing beyond that. If we get Vasudeva Katharuchi by coming in touch with great Vaishnavas, then that Katharuchi will take us back home, back to Godhead. So, this boy, He got the costless mercy. And then he is saying about what was his qualification, Narada is telling. Generally speaking, great souls never talk about their own qualification. But sometimes, in a small circle of intimate, confidential disciples, a guru may not mind sharing his qualifications also. Not with the desire to boast about himself, but with the desire to enlighten the disciples so that they will also cultivate such good qualities. Just like one time Srila Prabhupada was walking and hundreds of people fell on the ground offering obeisances, and all the disciples were fascinated to see that. Just see, even new people, old people, everybody is offering namaskar to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked the disciples, "Do you know why they are offering me obeisances?" And the disciples didn't know why. And Prabhupada said, "Because I am free from sex desire," he said. So, is Prabhupada boasting himself? Definitely not. He wants to tell the disciples that we have to transcend sex desire in order for us to be able to deliver Krishna to people abundantly. So, sometimes Guru may reveal to devotees some of his qualities to inspire the people. Here also Narada is saying, Dante, Akridanake, Alpabhashani, Anuvartani, four qualifications he is saying. Dante means I was self-controlled. And then he says, Alpabhashani means I did not speak more than required. Akridanake means I was not naughty and not interested in any childish play. Very rare actually. Nowadays in India, any place you go, all children are carrying cricket bats now. Everywhere. Even those fellows, you know, people who were making wooden dolls of, you know, Lakshmi, Saraswati, Ganesh, you know, Ram, Krishna and all, and selling. Now those fellows have stopped making wooden dolls. Instead they are making cricket bats nowadays. Because cricket bats are selling in big number in India now. So children are too fond of playing. You give them any free time, they will want to play. You see that. But here he was a different type of child. He was not so much interested in play. Rather, he was serious. Then he is saying, Akridanike, another one is Alpabhashini. You know, one should not speak unnecessarily, because by speaking unnecessarily, the mind becomes agitated. The tongue and the mind are connected. So the more we speak, the mind becomes hyperactive also. But if you speak about Krishna, the mind becomes absorbed in Krishna. And if you speak about Maya, then the mind becomes absorbed in Maya. So that is why one has to pay attention to oneself, whether am I speaking vikalpa, which is called prajalpa, or am I speaking something Krishna conscious. So vikalpa means maldiction or speaking, bluffing something. So he says that he was not unnecessarily talking too much like a chatterbox. And he says, Dante, he was also self-controlled. That means, you know, this one word self-controlled actually means all the six urges which we say, like vachavegam, manasavegam, krodhavegam, jihvavegam, udharavegam, prastavegam, all these things. And that self-control also means mind-controlled. And then he says, anuvartini means I was obedient, about which Prabhupada wrote a beautiful sentence. Without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, without being obedient, no one can please the spiritual master. And without pleasing the spiritual master, no one has gone back to Godhead. Prabhupada says that in one of his purports. So in this way, he had the good quality of being obedient. So all this, these four good qualities he is saying, Dante, Akridanake, Alpabhashani, Anuvartini. So he is telling about sadhus, how they were impartial, but they showed me costless mercy. How they showed costless mercy is going to tell now. Yeah, please read it. Is the mic good? You have to read slowly, loudly and clearly.
Once, with their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and as a result, all of my sins were eradicated. Because of this, and due to serving such great souls, the life of devotional service to the Lord became very attractive to me.
It's a very beautiful verse. All of you repeat this verse. Uttishtalepan anumodito dvijaihi sakritsma bhunje tadapasya kilbishaha evam pravrittasya vishuddha chetasaha tadharma evatma ruchi prajayate. See, very beautiful. He is saying uchishta lepan. Generally the brahmanas think that somebody has eaten from a plate, it's called juta plate, uchishta. Then that is considered, not fit. It should be washed off. One should not eat from somebody's remnants. So brahmanas, smartha brahmanas, they will never touch a food that is eaten by anyone. Whereas in Vaishnava Siddhant, if some great Vaishnava has put his mouth, he has eaten some prasad, that prasad is glowing with spiritual effulgence, touched by the Vaishnava. Anyone who eats that becomes filled with Krishna Prem also, by eating that food. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called the small girl Narayani, and from his own plate he picked up some prasad and put it in her mouth, and said, Narayani, chant Krishna's names. Next moment Narayani started bursting into tears chanting Krishna's names, by eating that prasad, you see. So the Mahaprasad, which is eaten by a pure devotee, becomes Mahamahaprasad, and it is very, very potent and pure, spiritually very potent. If somebody gets a little bit of Mahaprasad, just like it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that three potent items, Tina Mahabal, it is said, one of them is this Mahamahaprasad of a devotee. So, Uchishtalepan Anumodito Dvijay. This boy asked those sages, whatever remnants you have left in your plate, am I allowed to eat? And the sadhu said, yes, never mind, please take it, they said. They gave him permission. Sakrasma Bhunje Tada Pasta Kelbisha. All my sinful reactions were finished by eating those remnants. So, actually these remnants have to be accepted with very great respect. Like, whenever a great soul eats in a plate and leaves the plate, sometimes people want Mahaprasad because there are some special items available. I like gulab jamun, I like this one. So there was one devotee who would always get only salt from Prabhupada's plate. Why? Because all other items are gone. Except that item. He only got that. But that fellow became a very great devotee. Why? Because he only wanted Mahamaha. He didn't want some specific item. So, the purpose of getting Mahamaha is to purify our heart, not satisfy our taste buds. That's not the purpose. So, the purpose shouldn't be forgotten. Why we want a Mahamaha Prasad of some devotee? Whatever be the item, while eating the item also, we should meditate that this item is eaten by the great Vaishnava who is very dear to Krishna, and by eating this, Krishna will also bless me with some attraction for him. Just like the Jadu Thakur's story, we hear how he was, he used to go Vaishnava to Vaishnava, feed them some prasad and then take remnants from them and take, eat. So he was very, very, he had a very great faith in the Mahamahaprasad. So, his name was Kalidas, isn't it?
Kalidas.
Kalidas once went to Jadu Thakur and his wife. Jadu Thakur and his wife are very, very pure Vaishnavas. So once he went and gave them some mangoes. And then he told them, please eat the mangoes and give me the remnants to me. They said, how can you ask remnants from us? We are fallen souls. We don't deserve to give a remnants to anyone. Then he said, okay, I'm going away. So Jadu Thakur and his wife, they ate the fruits, and then Jadu Thakur's wife took the mango peels and the seed, and then she went to the backyard of the house and she threw it in the backyard. So then Kalidas went from behind and then he took those seeds and took those mango peels and started sucking on them. There were tears in his eyes coming. Why? Because he was thinking that this is eaten by these pure devotees. And now I am so fortunate, I am like the dog. By eating this, I will also get Krishna Prem. So he was a very pure soul. So one day, This Kalidas happened to be in Jagannath Puri at a place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would wash his feet. Actually, many devotees would aspire in their hearts, how nice when Mahaprabhu is washing the feet, if I can get a drop of that water and drink. But nobody had the guts to go near. They knew that Mahaprabhu would be angry. Because you know very well, Mahaprabhu one time when was doing Gundicha Mandir Marjan, he was sitting on the throne of Vishnu and, you know, cleaning the place. And one Bengali Vaishnava came and he threw some water on Mahaprabhu's feet and he drank it, and Mahaprabhu turned around and became very angry. He scolded him and called for Swarup Damodar. He said, look at your Bengali Vaishnava. He has drunk water from my feet. And immediately Swarup Damodar came and caught him by the neck and pushed him out of the door. Of course, lovingly he did that. And Mahaprabhu complained like that. Mahaprabhu didn't allow anyone. But on this particular occasion, when Kalidas had come, Mahaprabhu was about to wash his feet and Kalidas was already sitting down on the floor, almost like sitting like a dog waiting. As soon as Mahaprabhu washed the feet, he took water. He drank. And devotees thought he is going to get a chastisement. The Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. Second time Mahaprabhu washed, again he drank. Third time Mahaprabhu washed, third time again he drank. And then Mahaprabhu turned around and said, enough now. Like that Mahaprabhu said and went away. Why? Devotees are surprised. How? Mahaprabhu didn't scold them because Mahaprabhu knew that his attitude was perfect. So he got the foot wash of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Similarly, here he got the remnants of the great Vaishnavas. And because of this, and also due to serving such great souls. So he also got remnants and he also served them, assisting his mother. Then result was what? The life of devotion and service to the Lord became very attractive to me. Evam pravrittasya vishuddha chetasaha. My chetana became vishuddha. It became purified. Tad dharma evatma ruchi prajayate. Dharma is the paro dharma. Like Krishna says, you know, in the 12th chapter, last verse, this is the Yetu dharma mritamidam yatoktam paryupasate shraddhadhana matparama bhaktaste ativame priyaha. Krishna says, So yetu dharma amritamidam, this is amrita dharma. Which is one? Which one? The paro dharma. It's amrita dharma. Amrita means imperishable eternal duty, which is bhakti yoga. That became very attractive to me. What is the meaning of this attractive to me? You know, many people, many of the sannyasis tell me in their, sometimes in their talks, they say how they came to Krishna consciousness. One sannyasi was telling that when I first looked at the Hare Krishna monks, I used to ridicule them. I thought they are fools. They are shaven head and they are having some kind of tail, ponytail behind. And they are also dancing and singing like crazy men in the street. I never thought I would like to be one of them. So he thought, so when we don't have any Sukriti, we think devotees are crazy. Because their Sukriti is empty. But sometimes, even though we may criticize and ridicule devotees, devotees have such exalted qualities that sometimes even they deal with such ridiculing people very politely, respectfully. And then a person may be surprised, I am ridiculing him. There was one fellow in a shop, he would never want to see Hare Krishna devotees going through his road. And whenever devotees would go, he would come out of the shop, you know, with this thing, would pound the devotees. Many devotees got beaten up by this fellow. But devotees would get pounded like this and they would give him a cookie packet. Can you imagine? One hand they are getting this, another hand they are giving cookie. He will take also cookie and put in his pocket and still punch devotees. After going to shop, he ate the cookies. And cookies were too good. So next day when the devotees came on Harinam, he told them, whatever cookies you have, I want everything. Give me everything. And later on this fellow became a full-time devotee in a temple. Can you imagine? So the first time, he had no Sukriti, so he was beating devotees. First time was beating devotees, but then once the cookie went inside, then the Sukriti started developing. And Sukriti developed to such a degree, what happened? He became a full-time devotee only later. You see? So, in this way what happens, when our bhakti sukriti increases, the devotional service becomes attractive to us. It becomes very attractive. Otherwise it's not attractive. We will have admiration for devotees, admiration for deities, admiration for Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta purports, for admiration, appreciation, attraction, all these things come by increasing sukriti. As the sukriti becomes ripe, we become detached from material world and attached to spiritual things. Just like, you know this Goa. Goa you call it? Peru. Goa only, no? Gava, yeah. This gava, if you see when it is green, it is very difficult to remove from a tree. But when it is ripe and yellow, you move it like this, it comes out immediately. But when it is green, you have to twist it, and then still pull, it doesn't come. Similarly, when the sukriti is not ripe, you know, it's very difficult to detach from material world. But when sukriti becomes ripe, then one can be easily detached. And then one becomes attached to Krishna and attracted to Krishna like this. So because this boy was eating the Mahaprasad and he was serving the sadhus, and because of this, the result was what? The devotional service to the Supreme Lord became very attractive to me, he says. Tad dharma eva atma ruchi prajayate. Ruchi is required. Because without ruchi, like I remember in our temple, Pune temple, like you know, one lady used to come in the morning bringing one lotus flower every day to offer to Shri Radha Kunjabihari. So she would come, stand in front of the Lord and wait for the pujari to come, and pujari comes, she will say, please offer this to this, I want to offer to Krishna, please give it. She would offer, and we all appreciated that. This lady brings a beautiful big lotus from some pond somewhere. So I told our Mataji, please tell her to also kindly sit and hear the Bhagavatam class. So they told her, you know, she was not interested. She said, no, I just want to. So this is called Kanishtha Adhikari, we call it. Kanishtha Adhikari has direct relationship with the deities only, not with the devotees. But she did this for 6 months to 1 year, and after that she developed a taste for sitting in Bhagavatam. After that, you see, as the sukriti keeps building up, then Krishna only within the heart he says, not dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama payantite. Then she became inspired to sit down and hear the Bhagavatam here. Taddharma eva atma ruchi prajayate, the ruchi came because of the seva. Like that he says. Yeah, please read it.
Yeah. In their association, I heard narrations of Lord Krishna's transcendentally attractive pastimes. By such regular and attentive hearing, my taste for such topics increased at every step.
We will recite this verse. Please repeat after me. Tatranvaham Krishna Katha Pragayatam Anugrahena Shrinavam Manohara Tashraddaya Nenupadam Vishrindataha Priyashravasyanga Mamabhavadruchi. So he is telling Tatra Anvaham Krishna Katha Pragayatam. They were all speaking Krishna Katha amongst themselves with great delight. And then he says, Anugrahena Shrinavam Manohara. By that Anugraha. Anugraha means mercy. They allowed me. I asked them, sir, am I allowed to sit here with you? Because I am a Dasiputra and you are all great souls. I don't know whether I'll be allowed to sit and listen to this. They said, why not? Krishna Katha is for everybody. You are welcome. So they allowed me to sit, although I was an unqualified fool. They were all Mahatmas. So when I sat and heard, the Krishna Katha made a big difference to me. Why? That is the first time I came to understand how sweet is Krishna. Because they were all delighting amongst themselves, talking about Krishna's glories. Like we say, the beautiful song, Adaram Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram, Nayanam Madhuram, Hasitam Madhuram, Hridayam Madhuram, Gamanam Madhuram, Madhuradipate Akhilam Madhuram. Akhilam Madhuram means everything about Krishna is sweet. When Krishna is standing under the Vamshiva tree and playing on his flute in the bank of the river Yamuna, in the moonlit night, his lips are shining. That Adharam is Madhuram. It's very beautiful. And he says, not only Krishna's lips are beautiful, his face is beautiful. And his eyes are beautiful like a lotus petal. And his smile is beautiful. And not only his external appearance is beautiful, his heart is also beautiful. Because some people have a beautiful appearance externally, but their heart is cruel. Heart is not attractive. But Krishna's heart is also attractive. Because you see, when Drupada, as a king, when Dronacharya came to his sabha, he had a prestige problem. Immediately sent him away. Whereas Krishna, as a king of Dwaraka, had no prestige problem when Sudama came. Without any shame, Krishna ran and embraced his friend, poor friend Sudama. And Sudama's cloth was torn in many places. And his bones were seen in his body. He was very skinny. And everybody thought, who is this poor Brahmana? But Krishna did not feel any prestige problem. He embraced him and he took him and made him sit in his own Rukmini's bedstead along with him. So, in this way, his heart is so beautiful. He is saying, Hridayam Madhuram, Gamanam Madhuram, even his walking is beautiful. Madhura Adipate Rakhila Madhuram. Everything about Krishna is sweet. Venuru Madhura, Venuru Madhura, Paniru Madhura, Padu Madhura, Nrityam Madhuram, Sakhyam Madhuram, Madhuradipate Akhilam Madhuram, Madhuradipate Akhilam Madhuram. So his playing on his flute is very beautiful. Why so? It is not only attractive to the human beings, it's attractive even to the animals and birds of Vrindavan. When I went to South India to Adikeshava temple, which was visited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also when he was present on the planet, from where he got the Brahma Samhita. So in that Adikeshava temple you will find Lord Vishnu lying in Anantashesha, and Mahaprabhu was staying there for some time. In that temple outside you will find in the mandapam there are many many pillars all around. You can go for a pradakshina around. So in one of the pillars, I saw in front of the pillar, there was a huge murti of Krishna standing, and they had put up a name called Murali Dhara. So he was with a flute, beautifully standing, huge, it's almost 6 feet or so. And by the side of the pillar, I saw a very strange, amazing sight. I saw, one side there was Lakshmi, Radharani, holding a lotus, she was standing on one side. On the other side I saw, very amazing sight, there was a cow. Before the cow I saw, there was a cow. Cow standing with two legs, just like human beings are standing in two legs. Like that the cow was standing and standing up and listening to the flute of Krishna. And behind the cow there was a tiger standing with his two hands on the cow's shoulder. And he was also listening to Krishna's flute. And behind the tiger there was a deer putting two hands on tiger's shoulder. And that also was listening. And I saw a strange sight that the calf of the cow was drinking milk from the tiger. And the tiger's cub was drinking milk from the cow. So then I called the pujari and said, how old is this sculpture? He said, very, very old, thousands of years, he said. I said, really? I am a little doubtful because there is some mistake here in your... I said, what is the mistake? I said, the tiger's cub should drink milk from tiger. Why is it drinking from cow? Then he gave a big laugh and said, this is because of Krishna's flute, he said. Venuru Madhura, Renur Madhura. Renur, Renur means the Kasyana Bhavo. There is a verse which the Nagapatnis are saying, O Lord Krishna, the dust particles from your lotus feet are actually wanted by even Lord Shiva or even by Lakshmi on their head. for purifying themselves. But you are not giving them, you are dust off your feet and you are giving to the snake. The snake is a very envious creature, and our husband Kaliya, he is undoubtedly a sinful man. That's why he got a body of a snake. How is it that your dust particles are falling on his feet? This is only due to your causeless mercy. They are saying like that. They are, and for which, for the sparshadikara, even Lakshmi is doing meditation. Lalana charattapo, they are saying. She is doing tapasya. Lalana is actually the Lakshmiji. So, the dust particles from Krishna's feet are most sought by everybody in the whole creation, including Brahma, including Shiva, including Lakshmi, Narada and all the great souls. That is Renur Madhura. And that is why Balakrishna in the Vatapatra Shahi, he takes his own feet and puts in his mouth to taste what is there in my dust for which all my devotees are hankering for. He wants to know, why are they always saying, give me the dust of your lotus feet. Let me see what is in this dust, he is saying, thinking. Renur Madhura, Renur Madhura, Panir Madhura, Padau Madhura. Pani means the hand. The Lord's hand is also very sweet. When the gopis were dancing in Rasa dance, Krishna saw some perspirations on their cheeks and he wiped it. When Krishna wiped those perspirations, and the gopis' eyes were closed because they were dancing in great transcendental ecstasy, manifesting all the ashtasattvika vikar. They were in another world only when they were dancing with Krishna. They didn't even see Krishna, but when Krishna wiped their perspiration, they suddenly felt somebody brought some lotus close to their nose, because the lotus is very fragrant, isn't it? Sometimes when you take a newly purchased rubber or something, when you take out, and you smell it, it's a very nice smell, isn't it? Like that the smell came from Krishna's hand, Saurabhyata. So Krishna's palm is like a lotus. It's called Panir Madhura. That is also very sweet. And Padav Madhura, Krishna's lotus feet is also sweet, he says. Because the gopis are singing when Krishna enters the jungle. Chalasiyagrajat charayan pasho nalina sandaram natate padam shilatrenankurai sidati tinah kalilatam manah kantagachati. They are telling, my dear Krishna, when you go to the jungle, your lotus feet are beautiful, but they are walking through pebbles and stones and thorns and thickets, and we are worried that it may pinch your feet. Simply thinking of it is creating great pain in our hearts, they are praying. You know, when Ishwarapuri was living in Gaya, at that time when Nimai Pandit came there, he went to the Vishnupadi Mandir. In that Vishnupadi Mandir, the Brahmanas are glorifying, these are the lotus feet of Vishnu, you know, which are most sought by Lakshmiji, which are massaged by Lakshmi. These are the same feet which were placed on the head of Bali Maharaja. These are the same feet from where the Ganges is emanating, which is accepted by Lord Shiva on his head. Like that they were glorifying. And hearing this, the transcendental ecstasy aroused in the heart of Nimai Pandit at that time. So, Krishna's lotus feet is most appreciated. And by all the devotees, when Krishna is dancing on Kaliya, that's why he is saying, Dutyam Madhuram. When Krishna was dancing on Kaliya's roots, in the Akash Marg, all the Apsaras and all the Gandharvas came with their instruments and everything, and they all started playing. The Apsaras also danced for some time. After that, the Apsaras stopped their dance. Why? Because other devatas told them that, you know, your dance is useless. Better you sit and watch Krishna's dance. And when Krishna danced, all the Vrajavasis appreciated. Now Krishna has no more fear. So, was dancing very beautifully. You can imagine, even Bharatanatyam dancers dance so beautifully. It's a small 1/1,000,000th of the fraction of Krishna's beautiful dance. Dhrityam Madhuram. Only one fellow could not tolerate the dance. Who was it? Kaliya. Krishna was dancing on his head. And then he's saying Sakhyam Madhuram. His friendship with Krishna is sweet. Madhuradhipate Rakhyalamaram. I'll stop here. It's 3 o'clock now. So in this way, these Vaishnavas were glorifying Krishna amongst themselves, talking about Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities. When the boy heard, it was new for him. This is the first time he heard these things and he was thrilled. And I'll continue in another class, whenever in future class I give, okay? Srila Prabhupada ki, Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much.